Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
St. Adams here from the Wednesday Night Wix Show, here to tell you about the new aviation t-shirts available now at warbirdradio.com/deals. Click on the Wright Brothers catalog link. There are lots of great t-shirts to choose from, like the classic World War II Flying Tigers, Tuskegee Airmen, and the ever-popular P-51 Mustang, as well as many other fun aviation designs. Talk to you next Wednesday evening on the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Show, and hopefully you'll be listening wearing your new Aerostyle t-shirt. Visit warbirdradio.com/deals now and check out the all-new Wright Brothers catalog.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern here on warbirdradio.com.
Hi friends, Matt Jolly here to tell you about a special offer from my friends at Aero Cinema. Just log on to warbirdradio.com/deals and watch for free Aero Cinema's new feature presentation on Scott Yoke's P-51 Quicksilver. Inside you'll find a special Aero Cinema subscription rate that's so good I'm not allowed to say it on the air. So click on warbirdradio.com/deals, that's warbirdradio.com/deals, and watch Quicksilver for free, plus receive that special offer from Aero Cinema. Just remember, warbirdradio.com/deals.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
If you're landing in DCA, be sure to wave. Wave. This is Warbird Radio.
Good evening. This is Zane Adams here on the Wix Warbird Weekly Show, coming to you live from Fort Worth, Texas, March 21st, 2012. And welcome tonight to all you folks out there listening. I notice you guys get on the warbird.com or warbirdradio.com live chat. You can sign in there at warbirdradio.com. If you don't have a membership yet, you can sign in there, register. It's simple and fast and easy, and that'll get you into our chat with your own personal name there. And there's a couple of us in there tonight on the Warbird chat. You can talk to us there, or you can talk to us via Skype at Warbird Radio, or the studio line is open at 478-787-4768. And call us in tonight. We've got a couple of guests here this evening going to be talking, but the phone line is open, and if you've got any questions or anything happening in the Warbird world out there, give us a shout. Starting into air show season, I know we've been talking about that lately, but I think it's the best place to see flying warbirds this time of year. And got some hot shows, had some good shows last weekend. The Tico Warbird Show went off without a hitch a couple weeks ago. Last week, there's a good show out at Yuma, and Thunder Over Utah had an excellent show at their brand new airport out there. Seen some photographs of that around, and they had the Blue Angels out there, a couple of three or four Mustangs, and they had a great show out there. And you know, it's, you have to be going there to get there to get to St. George, Utah, but man, they put themselves on the air show calendar and did a good show out there. So if anybody's out in southern Utah and went to that show, let us know. If you were at Yuma or any other shows, one down at Jasper, Texas, let us know out there. If you're going to air shows next couple of weekends, I know we've got Air Fiesta here in Texas, and then I know Sun and Fun is coming up here at the end of the month. So if you're planning on being at Sun and Fun down in Florida or any other air shows, give us a call and let us know what your plans are and what you expect to see. And we'll be happy to talk to you here at warbirdradio.com. And right there on the homepage of Warbird Radio, you'll see we've got a new sponsor up there, the Wright Brothers catalog at warbirdradio.com/deals. And be sure to click on that and support the station. There's some really cool stuff they've got at the Wright Brothers catalog. Sporty's guys have a great bunch of gear. And go check it out at warbirdradio.com/deals when you get an opportunity. Also, there's a link there on top of the warbirdradio.com page for says Doolittle Raiders Reunion. And that's coming up here next month. And click on that and help buy some gas for some B-25s. They're trying to get as many B-25s as possible. I think their goal is 25 B-25s up there. They've got 22 confirmed already. So there's a couple of more out there that probably need our help and a little gas money from us. Click on the link there at warbirdradio.com and buy some B-25 gas. It's it goes to a good cause. And this, you know, looks like it's going to be the last gathering of the Doolittle Raiders. And there in Dayton, and it couldn't be a better deal. And it looks like it's going to be a great gathering. I mean, if you got 22 B-25s already, that's a heck of a bunch of round motors out there burning some gas, and they need all the help you can get. So make sure you check on warbirdradio.com and click on those links there and help them out. So tonight we've got a guest with us. He's been on here once before with us, called in, and he's a noted aviation photographer from the Pacific Northwest, and he has got a new iPhone app. And you guys out there, that if you've got an iPhone, I know I don't have an iPhone personally, but my wife does, so she's well taken care of. And I downloaded this app today, and it's called Cockpit 360, and it's done by Lyle Jasmine. Lyle, you with us there?
I sure am.
Good evening, Lyle. Thanks for joining us here on Warbird Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on tonight, guys.
Oh, sure. It's great to hear from you. I know we've talked to you a couple of times, or at least once, about some of the things you're doing up there in the Pacific Northwest and with your camera. And I know you've got a lot of air-to-air stuff going and things, but we want to start out with this new app. I know it just launched a couple of days ago, and it's called Cockpit 360. So you can look it up at the App Store. And tell us about that a little bit, about what you're planning here, what you're doing with this app.
Well, this is a project I've been working on with Warbirds for about 5 years, but it really has its beginnings for me back in 1998 when I was a boat builder, an engine installer, a systems installer. I got involved in shooting 360-degree views. Basically, it was something I'd seen online. I was curious about it. It was using the Apple QuickTime system. And when the company that I worked for noticed that I had a knack for this, they actually kind of put me in charge of sending weekly updates to the owners of the boats so they could see in 360-degree view what happened that previous week. But back in those days, it was kind of a difficult thing in the sense that people would have to download a plug-in, and you know, people weren't sure, well, can an Apple product work with a Windows product? And so there were a lot of difficulties to get through. And the 360-degree view, all you could do is look at 90 degrees. There was no way to look up or look down.
Right. And the first time I saw these things, I guess, is the first time I've noticed them out in the world was mostly in real estate, you know, where they had a house for sale and somebody set up one of these, you know, in the middle of the kitchen, and you give you a sweeping view across. But you're right, it was technologically sometimes a little tricky with the plugins and stuff.
So. Exactly, and there were a lot of companies trying to figure out how to implement it. I mean, the next version, I guess you could say, is that guys started taking photos with fisheye lenses. So they'd have these 180-degree lenses that they would put on their point-and-shoot cameras, and it would kind of get that ability to look up and look down. The problem was that the resolution wasn't that good, and they always were a little bit distorted on the edges where they had to stitch together. So it was moving forward, but yet you didn't have really good clarity. And then when Canon came out with the affordable full screen, or the affordable digital camera, I should say, which I'm dating myself, it was the Canon D60, was the one that I bought. Then you had that ability to have good resolution because you had a digital SLR, problem was that in order to make a complete 360-degree view, you had to take 44 images. And so if you missed one, you'd have this black spot in the middle of your 360. So it was good. I mean, we could kind of start moving forward, but it wasn't really economically viable because you'd have to tie up a situation or like a room, or if you were shooting a boat or whatnot, you'd be there for 2 hours trying to make sure you got all your exposures right, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And so when Canon came out with the 5D with the full frame sensor, that was kind of the moment that is like, okay, we can make this work. And when they coupled that with their 15 millimeter lens, you went from essentially 44 images to 7 images. And that's when we could start really making some money at it, because we could have a quick turnaround. We didn't have to be in a location for 2 hours. But there were still problems with the delivery. You could do it in QuickTime, you could do it with Flash, but not all the platforms were compatible. And the biggest thing is that with the iPhone and the iPad, they didn't accept Flash. It's kind of like we were almost there, but there were still some things to have to figure out. And then, within the last 9 months. A new standard came out, which was called HTML5, and HTML5 solved the problem of being able to get these on the iPad and the iPhone. And once that came out, I recognized that I finally, after 10 years, had
had everything you needed. Yeah,
exactly. So I had approached essentially when I became a volunteer photographer at the Heritage Flight Museum here in Bellingham, that was one of the first projects that I wanted to kind of work with, because I could recognize that our guests that would come to the museum, they got to walk up, they got to touch the airplane, run their hands down the skin, and have that intimate feeling, but we couldn't allow everybody to climb in the cockpit. And even if you were to climb up on the ladder and peer in, it was still just, we weren't completing that experience. And so I had left the boat building industry and actually had gotten into architectural photography with an emphasis on shooting for real estate agents. So the 360s, that I had been doing that for the real estate agents, and I thought, well, let's just mate this with airplanes. And it was a success to the extent that everybody that saw it loved it. It was just, how do we get it out to the public? We could put it on the website. But then, people had problems with download times. Could they sit there and wait, for 5 minutes for it to download? Because the connection speeds at that time just, that was kind of right when cable and Comcast, like what we have out here, Xfinity, was starting to allow for more high-speed internet.
Right. Not everybody had broadband, of course.
Exactly, and that was a problem. You'd ask somebody to download it, so then you'd have to do different things. Well, we have got the low res, and we've got the medium res, and the high, the high bandwidth, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I approached the Museum of Flight in Seattle, and I showed them what I'd done for the Heritage Flight Museum, and they were very intrigued. And so I signed on as a volunteer photographer for them, and. They opened up the collection to me, and we'd go down a couple times a month and photograph as many planes as we could get done before they'd open the doors, and we started building up our collection of aircraft. And about 6 months ago, when I approached them and I said, hey, I think we've got a means to get this app done, they had said, well, we were actually thinking about the app as well. How far are you? And I said, well, this is where we're at. And like, they decided to just sign on with what I had developed. And so they looked at what I put together, backed the program, and we kind of went from there. And so that's the really exciting thing, is that guests will now be able to come into the Museum of Flight. We'll have a little notice there showing that this that the aircraft within the museum are part of the Cockpit 360 app. And guests are going to be able to complete that experience. They're going to be able to put themselves inside the Apollo command module. They're going to be able to put themselves on the Boeing ADA. They'll be able to sit inside an SR-71, or actually an M-21, but they're going to be able to have these experiences, sit inside a Super Corsair.
Right.
So we're really excited about that.
So you're going to have a QR code or anything there, or just a notice saying, hey, this app's available and you can see here.
It, It'll be some. There could be a QR code. There's some interesting things. The Droid phones have built-in QR code. The Apple phones don't. So we have to kind of look at what's going to be the easiest. What we'll have most definitely is an ability, a notice, so that it's in a cockpit 360 enabled airplane, and we'll have the link, the reminder that they can go to the iTunes store and look up the on the App Store and pick it up.
Yeah. And speaking of Droid, are you got Droid support coming? Is that in the future there? Or?
It is. The interesting thing is that there are so many levels of versions to have to build for. It really becomes problematic. I actually was reading an article this morning that a lot of the Droid developers are getting frustrated because they come out with one, but people don't, embrace the newest operating systems, much like the OS for the Apple with the iPad and the iPhone. So I've been telling people that there are two things. If my iPhone app is wildly successful, that'll tell me there's a market. And if it's wildly successful, that means I'll have the funds to be able to fund a Droid version.
Sure, sure. Well, and it's not, I know it's not cheap. What you're doing here takes a lot of time. The Museum of Flight's got quite a few airplanes that you can be crawling around in, and then you've got post, processing and everything else, your time involved in this thing. But, and I don't know what it takes to launch an app. Could you go into a little bit about, what it takes to do that, and I don't know if you want to go into the financials of it necessarily, but it's not cheap, obviously, but what's involved there?
Well, in terms of financial aid, I'll say that I could probably buy a 1D Mark IV and a 300 millimeter f/2 lens for what I've spent on the app.
Yikes.
it puts it right in between that so let's say $7,000 to $10,000 range.
Okay.
To create the app. Now, as far as the coding and whatnot, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand what goes on. I don't do codes. I do photography. So
there you go. Okay.
I was able to meet with a local developer here in Bellingham. His name is Nathan Carnes. We sat down. We kind of did a little research, made sure that we had something that was viable, and we looked at the numbers. And we thought, this really could be something good. So we kind of moved forward with it. And what we've decided to do is open with the iPhone version first, and then the iPad version will be out in about another 30 days. And
okay.
So that'll give us some time to identify if there are any little quirks and then be able to adjust so when we have our second version or the unveiling of the iPad, then we can make sure that we've got everything running smoothly and whatnot. And, so Nate basically took care of the coding. I told him what I wanted to see. He suggested, let's do it this way. And it's really worked out nice. And it took about 90 days, maybe a little more than 90 days to go from concept to completion.
Well, that's pretty fast. I mean, in today's world of things, I guess digitally it goes fast, but it seems awfully quick to me to be able to do that. So that's a nice...
They were a good team and well worth the money spent.
Oh, cool. Well, and how many aircraft you got on the app so far?
Well, right now, I think, we've got probably about 25, some with multiple views, like the B-29 from the Museum of Flight.
Right.
And then we've got altogether about 80 aircraft that we're waiting to just put up. And when we're all done, there'll probably be over 100 different views. Because we have multiple B-17s, and we've got two B-29s, we've got a B-24. So we've got, the first 747, we've got one of the Air Force Ones, SAM 970. And so it was actually Lyndon Johnson's, it was the one that he flew back from Dallas on. We've got a Concorde, and, so the plan is to just continually keep adding. Whenever I have an opportunity to photograph an aircraft in 360, when it's done, we'll put it up. What we're kind of in the process right now is making sure that we're not legally okay to do that, not breaking any trademarked or copyrighted aircraft.
Okay.
there were some things where some aircraft are on loan from the Air Force, so we had to make sure that we weren't doing anything that was that would put the museums having the aircraft in jeopardy.
Okay.
And so it's been pretty good. We've got, I've shot most of the collection at Tillamook. Of course, we've got Heritage Flight aircraft, John Sessions at Historic Flight. We've got a good portion of his aircraft. I've started to do work with the Evergreen Air and Space Museum in McMinnville, and we've got invitations to go down to the San Diego Air and Space Museum and the Pacific Aviation Museum in Honolulu. That Honolulu trip is going to be a tough one. I've already got lots of volunteers that asking if they can come and help on that one.
Yeah, rats. Yeah, that'd be tough, wouldn't it?
yeah. And then we're going to branch out basically and make contact with museums in the Midwest. I've already been doing work with the Arizona wing of the CAF and then the B-29, B-24 wing in Addison.
Okay.
And goal.
Just looking at the app here, you've got, looks like 10 different locations. You got 9 groups of airplanes, and you got the Air Force A-10 West demo team in there, and that's really cool to see a modern operational aircraft on the list as well. But I know she got the Kavanaugh Museum, so you've obviously been crawling around in the Heinkel there. And what was really cool is at the Museum of Flight, the 747. You've got pilot, co-pilot, flight engineer, the upper salon, which is the big in the hump of the 747, mid cabin, and the cabin nose area. So you've got a bunch of different locations within the airplane, which really gives you a feel of especially on that airplane, how large it is and how much space is in there. I was looking at the pilot's view, and the flight deck is quite roomy in that airplane, compared to a lot of airplanes. So.
Well, and that's really one of the fun things for me is that, I'll admit this is kind of a hook. It gets me into the airplanes.
Sure.
In order to shoot the 360s, you have to be there. There are automated systems coming out now where you could just set the camera up and walk away. And those can be advantageous for some applications, but I choose to kind of do mine by hand.
Sure.
It gets me inside the plane, so that's a bonus. But when you're doing that, sometimes you might have somebody that walks in the view or something like that, and not having it automated, that allows you to just wait, have somebody walk by and then get started again and whatnot.
We've got a question from the chat deal here from Dave. He asked, how do you like the cockpits? For this, are you using flash on every shot, or do you have extra light standing by? What are you doing here because there doesn't seem to be much shadow in things. It just seems to be pretty basic lighting in these. But how are you doing that?
Well, preferably when I can do it inside a hangar, that's great because you've got lots of ambient light. Or if I can do it on a cloudy day, that's great. But what I do is a method of light painting. When we're shooting these, we're doing a kind of a multi-exposure bracketing. And we're going from exposing for what's outside the airplane to what's inside.
Right.
And then we'll use some LED lighting that, as long as you keep moving, you never have a shadow in any one spot. And so it's some basic techniques of just as long as you are lighting it as you're taking the exposure, it will register on the sensor. So I don't really have to go with a lot of flashes or set up a lot of stuff. I keep everything pretty mobile. That's a means of getting in and out, because that's one of the things when you're in a museum setting, you don't want to draw a lot of undue attention and have a lot of the guests say, well, how come he can climb up on the wing and I can't? Or even worse, see me on the wing, and then they just kind of make that
join
connection.
You.
Well, maybe I can climb up there too.
Right.
Which I've seen happen.
Sure. Yeah. When you're dealing with Joe Public, all kinds of strange things can happen for sure. But that's pretty cool that painting with light, that's a pretty neat little art to do. And I've seen some of your photographs. When you were here taking pictures of the B-29 in Fort Worth last summer, you did a nighttime multi-exposure shot, looked like to me, on the Fifi on the ramp. and the lighting you did with that, lights inside the cockpit in the wheel wells and that kind of stuff. It takes a lot of work to do that, but it comes out well when you're painting with light. Our buddy Al Sauer is taking some beautiful shots at Oshkosh, and he uses his little LED flashlight and paints the airplane. And a lot of people don't understand what we're talking about, but it basically is painting with light. And long exposures comes out with some interesting results, and definitely on the photos on the iPhone here, they're really, really well lit, and that's one thing that's cool about it.
Well, yeah, and that was an important standard to meet, you know, because if you've got a lot of dark shadows or overly dark, you kind of, well, what's in that corner and whatnot. So yeah, and that was. Using, and much like Al, some of Al's stuff, I just look at him like, oh, Al, how did you do that? You know,
yeah. It's like, yeah, he's quite the artist as well, isn't he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, and Al is, he's, you know, of course, he lives here in the Seattle area, one of the Cascade Warbird members, and Al definitely helps push the envelope for all of us photographers here locally, because, you know, he pulls he'll pull off some shots where we're all just having our mouths drop open and like, okay, Al, how did you do that one? You know, which is good.
Yeah, and he's been
really
with
good.
A point and shoot for a long time, so you know, I think.
You know, well, but, and Al, of course, I mean, he exemplifies the whole thing that it's not so much the camera, it's the access. I mean, if you can grab the access, you know, and have a reasonably good camera, you know, or a higher end point and shoot, you're going to be able to create some good images, and that's excellent.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so, what else have you got? What's on the future? I know you talked a little bit about. Are you going to go to the Air Force Museum? Are you going to be able to do some of that? Pima and some of these, quasi government collections, or are you basically? Shooting for private stuff right now, or is there some legal issues or something you've got to get around there, or are they willing to work?
You know, essentially, the goal is to create the largest collection of aircraft cockpits available. Now, the Air Force Museum in Dayton, they have a wonderful, absolutely wonderful virtual tour where you can walk through and see the exteriors of the airplanes. And when I'm out there for the Doolittle reunion, I'll be asking a few questions. I'll actually be traveling to the reunion with all my 360 gear, and an opportunity to shoot 25 B-25s. I don't know if I'll be able to get through them all, but I'll definitely be giving it a shot. You know,
sure, why not?
Exactly. You know, I've talked to them before at Pima when I've been down for the Heritage Flight Conference and whatnot. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because I do this photography, this 360 photography, free of charge. And that's saying that, you know, I always present it as a volunteer type of thing. And when people see the quality and then they hear the word free, they can't quite make the connection of like, well, why would you do this for free? I had that experience with Chris Trowbridge. Called him up, told him that you know, I'd like to come down and shoot the B-25 and the B-29, and he said, well, what's it going to cost me? It's like, well, it would be free. He says, well, let me make a couple phone calls. So he had to get on the phone with Brad Pilgrim. It's like, hey, I got a call from this Lyle guy up in Washington State, and it's like, well, Brad, you know, is he works with the Anders, he's probably okay, you know. So. But that's really what I want to get the word out, is that, you know, when a collection or a museum will give me the access, allow me the honor to be able to photograph their cockpits, what we do is we give them the 360s free of charge so that they can use it on their website or their marketing. And 'cause the goal here really is to allow Warbird enthusiasts, visitors and whatnot, that ability to complete the experience. It's kind of the final thing to be able to sit in that cockpit, albeit virtually, and see what that view is. And so that's the goal here.
It's a worthy goal, and it does create a buzz, you know, for the outfits, for the museum, and for the, you know, the CAF, you know, it creates some interest in their stuff as well, and it sounds mutually beneficial to everybody. And doing it for free and doing it for a volunteer basis is a good thing. I just hope you don't go broke trying to do all this, but hopefully if people get out and do the app and you know, that and the app is $5.99, and you're doing the and the cost of the app goes towards your travel here. It's not necessarily a for profit venture. It's an access and trying to get the collection and get this stuff online deal. Is that right?
That's correct. I mean, the app, the intention is it's a means to be able to fund being able to travel and gain the access, just the ability to make it happen. If, let's say, it is wildly successful, there are some other things we want to do. One of the things we've talked about is wanting to set up a photography scholarship so that people that have an interest in, photography that might not have the means to be able to pay for some college courses, they could be able to do that. Because it was going back 24 years ago in high school, it was photography that kind of saved me from some troubles that I was having in school and whatnot. It was my counselor actually was the photography teacher, and he cut a deal with me. He says, well, I'll go to bat for you for this little mistake that you've made here at school if you take my photography class. And that's in the end, it was the thing that worked for me. So I want to be able to give back for that as well. But it's at a minimum, if we can cover our costs of what it took to develop the app and be able to plan some trips so that we can continue doing the 360s on a volunteer basis, it'll be an extreme win for me.
No. Well, that's a good way to put it, Lyle, is taking care of and paying it back, I guess, is what you're doing, or paying it forward, or whatever the however you want to look at it. But it's a good deal out there, folks. I'd highly recommend you guys take, everybody out there that's got an iPhone, take a look at it. And by all means, buy this app so that Lyle can continue, and then you droid people will have an opportunity later if this goes well. So I sure hope it does. But hey, Lyle, we're going to take a quick break here. Stay with us through the break, and we got a couple other questions for you after the bottom of the hour. And we'll be right back with you here on WarbirdRadio.com.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
St. Adams here from the Wednesday Night Wix Show, here to tell you about the new aviation t-shirts available now at warbirdradio.com/deals. Click on the Wright Brothers catalog link. There are lots of great t-shirts to choose from, like the classic World War II Flying Tigers, Tuskegee Airmen, and the ever-popular P-51 Mustang, as well as many other fun aviation designs. Talk to you next Wednesday evening on the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Show, and hopefully you'll be listening wearing your new Aero-style t-shirt. Visit warbirdradio.com/deals now and check out the all-new Wright Brothers catalog.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, here on WarbirdRadio.com.
Hi friends, Matt Jolly here to tell you about a special offer from my friends at Aero Cinema. Just log on to warbirdradio.com/deals and watch for free Aero Cinema's new feature presentation on Scott Yoke's P-51 Quicksilver. Inside you'll find a special Aero Cinema subscription rate that's so good I'm not allowed to say it on the air. So click on warbirdradio.com/deals, that's warbirdradio.com/deals, and watch Quicksilver for free, plus receive that special offer from Aero Cinema. Just remember, warbirdradio.com/deals.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off, with Warbird Radio.
If you're landing in DCA, be sure to wave. Wave. This is Warbird Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Zane Adams on WarbirdRadio.com. We're back live with you here. We're talking with Lyle Jasma. If you're out there on the phones, 478-787-4768, the lines are open. And well, they're not open. We've got a caller here. So, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Is Lyle on the line?
Lyle is on the line with you. Who we have here?
All righty. Lyle, it's Opie from Viper West.
Hey, Opie, how you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. I saw on Facebook that you were going to be on, and I had to call you.
Perfect, perfect. Well, how's things going right now for you?
Things are going great. As many people know, I'm retired from the Air Force. I'm with Black Diamond, but I had to call in because what a lot of people may not know from last year, the last year of Viper West, one of the photos Lyle actually gave me was the photo we used for the 2011 Viper West lithograph. It was a beautiful picture of Major Graham in 2009 up at Abbotsford flying with Impatient Virgin. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture, Heritage Flight, and we used that photo for our lithograph last year. Lyle was nice enough to do all the work for me, and it was just beautiful, beautiful picture.
Cool.
Well, it was an honor to be able to do that, you know, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to help you folks out.
Yeah, that photo, I actually still have a couple of those lithographs. I'm keeping them for myself. I mean, I might have some office space down here at the Black Diamond headquarters, and definitely one of those is going to go on my wall because that picture is just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I can't thank you enough for letting us use that.
Well, hey, not a problem, and let me know when you want some Cockpit 360 shot of the Viper of the Black Diamond team. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know how we're going to do that because you're way out on the West Coast, aren't you?
Well, hey, I've got gear. I'll travel.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the
airplanes make it easy sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, I think the furthest west I'm going to get with Black Diamond, we're going to do Oshkosh and Janesville, but that's about the furthest west you'll see us.
Well, we'll work something out. I've been talking to a few museums on the East Coast, so we'll figure something out.
Hey, if you're coming to the East Coast, you let me know, buddy. I'll hook something up. I mean, we got the 5L39s, we got the 2 MiG-17s. I mean, we've got some great planes. You can get some nice 360s on. So that would be pretty. And congratulations on your app, buddy. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, it's been a labor of love, and now I just got to get a Viper put in there as well.
I'll tell you what, I'll have to send you a message on Facebook. I'll give you a phone number to Mace. You remember Mace, our pilot last year? He's going to be doing some Heritage Flights, and you might be able to run into him. And I know Mace would be more than happy to let you get something like that, as long as the Air Force lets us. But I know Mace will be more than helpful on this.
Sounds perfect. Thank you so much.
Hey, Opie.
All right, guys.
A little off topic here, Opie, and Lyle won't mind, but real quick, how did your first show go?
You know what? It went really well. We limped into that show with only three of the L-39s and a T-33. I mean, we had some of the L-39s down for maintenance, and Snort really hasn't had any seat time in any of the MiGs because our new MiG solo pilot, Buick, Mike Eberhardt, he was eating up all the time in the MiG. So it went really well, but we only had the four jets. However, if things go well, and it looks like they're going to, starting tomorrow at Punta. I'm in Punta Gorda right now. I just got here. And tomorrow afternoon, the team will be arriving with the aircraft around 4:30 in the afternoon Florida time. And it should be the full seven-ship complement that's going to take us through the rest of the season. And I'll tell you what, it's a pretty amazing dynamic show. Seven planes, 5L39s and 2 MiG-17s. And, you know, it's awesome. I'm really impressed with how great this show has worked out.
Well, cool. It's exciting to see you guys on the road, and it's going to be looks like a great dynamic show. And, you know, when you get up there to Oshkosh, you're going to have to, you know, find Matt Jolly, and throw him in the back of one of those L-39s. I know he'd appreciate that. And
you know me and Matt. Me and Matt go back, you know, good ways back. Ever since I started Viper West, I love Matt. I'll tell you what, if I can get him in a seat, I will.
Hey, listen, Zane, I'm sitting here having my drink. My what might have something, and trying to just have a nice relaxing night at the studio, and you throw me. I said to see if you could get a ride, Zane. I think thing.
Yeah.
I think we need to get Zane. Zane's our ride reviewer, and you've flown in the B-24. You've flown on Fat Albert. I can't even tell you all the rides Zane has had and has reviewed. We got to get you up there at Black Diamond.
Well, sure, I'd do that too. Yeah.
And you guys need to get to Texas. Tell those guys to get to Texas. Tell Jive and those guys they need to bring them to Texas. They need to do the big show out in Dallas.
We've talked, I want to. You know me. With Viper West, that's all I did was like
Opie
Texas
does
shows
Dallas.
And West
I can already
Coast
see
shows.
It.
So
yeah.
We're talking about next year maybe doing a big West Coast swing where
you
the Black Diamond team just goes out there and does, you know, three or four shows in a row on the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah, Opie and Bloke do Dallas. That needs to happen. All right, cool.
That sounds pretty good. Opie and Bloke do Dallas. I like that. I like that a lot.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in tonight, Opie. We appreciate you giving some
I had to. Just for Lyle's benefit, I mean, like I said, I couldn't thank him enough. He supplied me with a lot of photos. He's always been kind. The only regret I have, I haven't got to meet him in person yet, so we need to make that happen.
No, we'll make that happen, Opie. Don't worry.
All right, guys. You guys take care. And Lau, again, congratulations on the app, buddy. Hope it works out.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, cool. Take care, guys.
Opie Falcione there.
You never know who's going to call into this show, I'm telling you.
There you go.
Crazy out there. Who listens? I'm gonna go back to my evening. You guys have fun.
All right. Oh, man. Opie's a lot of fun, isn't he, Lyle?
Oh yeah, it was great. It was great to work with him. You know, we captured this shot that originally what it had done is it was John Sessions, Impatient Virgin, and Greg Anders, you know, my boss, was flying it up there for the Heritage flight, and it just had this. It was the typical Abbotsford overcast day, but we just had a really cool cloud structure. You know, a lot of it had a real foreboding look. And what I ended up doing was I kind of made the Mustang sort of an antique look, and then we transitioned into the modern day with the Viper, and I sent one to Greg, and Greg sent it to Opie, and the next thing I know, I'm getting a call, hey, can we use this for the team litho? And it's like, heck yeah, by all means.
Sure, yeah, cool deal. Well, you guys, you got a nice little business out there. We're gonna, you know, your aero capture images. I know you do some air to air school. You've got one of those coming up here soon, or?
Yeah, we've through John Sessions and the at the Historic Flight Foundation. What we do is we utilize his B-25 D and Grumpy, and typically what we'll do is we'll put up a couple of airplanes in his collection. It might be the Mustang, might be the Spitfire, the Bearcat, or the Tigercat, and we essentially give amateur photographers, and we'll take professionals too, but we give people that first experience of being able to shoot air to air. So it's you know, it's by some standards, it's kind of a budget. You know, this year I think we've got a couple different packages. The full package will be about $1,000. We go through, you know, about a half day of training as far as what to look for, how to capture those images, and then we get them up in the airplane, and it's really a win. Not only do they get to fly in a warbird, they get to photograph a warbird. And so this year we're going to be doing that during our Payne Field General Aviation Day. And the dates for that are going to be the 19th and 20th of May. And so we're just praying for good weather. You know,
sure.
That's one of the things we have to deal with here in the Pacific Northwest is rain.
Yeah. Well, even when it's bad weather, you guys got such good, I mean, visuals. You got such mountains and puffy clouds and, you know, stratus and all kinds of good stuff. I mean, it creates some pretty neat moods out there that you just don't get elsewhere. So it's an okay problem to have sometimes.
We have the ability to get some interesting backdrops, and the best is when it rains like the Dickens at night, of course, and then you wake up in the morning and then the tarmac's all wet. I mean, we can really make hay with that.
Oh,
with
yeah,
that
nice
rain.
Shiny concrete helps, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but so we're going to, we're you know, John, he's got a lot of things going on this year, you know, as far as he'll be taking Grumpy back for the Doolittle reunion. He's got several different air shows to do locally. I think there's even a trip up to Elmendorf Air Force Base planned for Grumpy and Impatient Virgin. So we've been really busy at Historic Flight. And we'll probably have information up on the website for the air-to-air experience probably within the next week or so. And the website, it'll be a2aexperience.com. When we have that up and running.
A2aexperience.com. Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, Lyle, we really appreciate you coming on tonight, and I hope your app does well. Everybody out there with an iPhone, get out there and download the Cockpit 360 app. And, you know, I hope to see you. I know you were here in Dallas on some top secret project here up at the Kavanaugh Flight Museum here recently, you know, and I hope that went well, and really looking forward to news coming out of there. But, you know, we didn't get to hook up this weekend. I know, I had a busy week and you had a busy week, and it's pretty nuts. But next time you're in town, I hope we can do dinner or lunch or at least something and say hi to each other again, since we kind of met on the ramp last July right quick, and appreciate you coming on tonight.
Yeah, I'll definitely be down in the Dallas area a few more times this year.
Cool. All right. Look forward to it. Well, Lyle, we appreciate you coming on, and I wish you well on your app, and I really do. It's an exciting deal, and folks out there, take a look at it. So,
thanks so much, Zane. Appreciate it. Until the next time, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. That's Lyle Jansma with the Cockpit 360 app. He's going to be touring the country, so look for him at a museum near you, trying to get his next cockpit under his belt, and he's going to be over in Dayton. I imagine Matt will hook up with him over there and say hi for sure. And it's exciting stuff, and it's really pretty neat to be able to stand next to an airplane and be able to peer inside it from the outside looking in. And if you haven't seen some of his stuff, it's Aero Capture Images or aerocapture.com. There's a lot of neat photographs. Lyle's quite a talented fellow there. So we've got a couple of events coming up here in the next few weeks. I know the air show season, like I said, is up and going. We've got a local show here coming up in the next couple of weeks, the weekend after next, March 31st, and the Greatest Generation Aircraft out of Fort Worth here is planning a spring fling, and we've got Dana Wood. Dana, are you with us here?
I certainly am.
Hello, Dana. Welcome. Thanks for calling in tonight, or coming on tonight, and tell us about what spring fling is going to be here in Fort Worth.
Well, we are so excited. This is our first time doing this, and we hope to make an annual event. But we're expecting a little over three dozen vintage aircraft. Some are warbirds. Some are just vintage personal aircraft that have just been maintained in the most beautiful of ways. And we're also going to have a few hundred classic cars and motorcycles on hand. And, of course, it's going to be truly a festival type of event with food and exhibits and things for the kids to do and all that kind of stuff. So we're hoping it's a day that, is both educational and fun at the same time. And more than anything, we're hoping people will actually get in some of these vintage aircraft and take rides. When you go to an air show, typically you have to wait until the performers are all finished and the airspace is cleared before you can take a ride, and then there's only one or two offering. But we've got five different aircraft offering rides that people can maybe pick some checks off that bucket list.
Cool. Well, I noticed that you're going to have a 1929 Travelair.
We are really thrilled. Scott out of Flower Mound, Scott Glover out of Flower Mound, is bringing his 1929 Travelair. We have a World War II trainer, an AT-6. There's going to be a 1978 Great Lakes biplane. We've got a couple of helicopters that are going to be out there. The C-47 will be giving rides. And then we're also going to have a lot of static displays, and I think this is one that you were looking forward to. Don Pellengrove is going to bring his Fairchild XNQ out.
Yeah, very cool. Very exciting, yeah. I've got an old friend of mine from school. I think Jim Doyle's going to bring his Great Lakes out, or is it Great Lakes? Anyway, he's going to bring his new airplane out.
Yeah, he is bringing his. It's a beautiful plane, and his has won all kinds of awards. And we've got actually several award-winning planes that are coming from representing the Antique Aircraft Association, and we are really excited. I guarantee you there's going to be something out there that you probably haven't seen before.
Well, that's cool. This is exciting. You're going to have a P-51 join us, too, out there on the field.
We're very, very excited to have side-by-side our B-25 Bomber Pacific Prowler and the P-51 Techo Spill will be side-by-side, and we will offer people an opportunity to have pictures taken with their vintage cars. And they don't have to be a vintage car. If they want to pull in their You know, I drive a Prius, so, you know, if you want to put your modern car in front of it.
Well, and you know there'll be a line of guys in their Ford Mustangs lining up to
have
their Mustangs
full size
with the Mustang. Yeah, that Mustang connection is always real popular every time that's offered. So, and I know you guys have got a bunch of Ricky and Steve. There are a couple of gearheads out there that I can imagine there's going to be some.
We got more than just a couple, yeah. And I'll tell you what, great group of guys. And I just want to make sure everyone knows that the reason that we're doing this is. One, we want to serve the community and offer a family fun-filled educational event. But all the money, and you know, there's a small charge to get in. By the way, if they, you know, it's $10 per car load, if they go to the Deal Saver on the Star Telegram, they can get that for 50% off, so only $5 to get in with your family.
There you go.
But all the money that we raise goes right towards our restoration and maintenance of these vintage aircraft. We are a 501c3 nonprofit group. We value and understand that people's dollars, you know, come are hard to come by these days, and
sure,
we will
sure.
appreciate every dollar they spend. But all of the money after paying for the event itself goes right into the restoration costs. I think you are aware that we are restoring a CG-4A Waco glider,
right.
An A-26A Nimrod. We have one of those, and we have just the maintenance costs on our B-25 bomber and our C-47. So none of these things are cheap, you know, and I know you know that, and I'm sure your listeners know that and can appreciate the costs involved. And this is how we keep them flying, is to try to offer something fun at the same time, you know, earn a little money to keep them all going.
Yep, and that's March 31st.
It is March 31st from 9 to 6. It's at Meacham, 4001 North Main. And we have a website, gga1.org, that people can go to and learn a lot more.
Yeah, and it's going to be at the out there in front of the Vintage Flying Museum hangar, and which is
it's not going to be at the Vintage Flying Museum. It's not going to be at that hangar. It's going to be closer to the Meacham Main Terminal.
Oh, okay, all right. So park at the terminal there and.
Park at the terminal. We have deuce and a half World War II era trucks that can drive people over as a shuttle and have a fun day.
Well, it sounds like fun. And you know, I know you guys are working on that. The Jim Reynolds, we had him on here a couple of weeks ago talking about the K model Invader, the A-26K.
The A-26,
That's real exciting stuff, and I know that the we've talked to Jim Terry about the Waco glider, and that's certainly an ambitious product or project. And you guys are doing good work out there. I know you guys take a lot of flights in the C-47. You guys did Christmas flights. I think, have you guys flown 1,000 people or something like that?
We flew 2,000 people at Christmas time.
2,000 people. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was always cool because I know, and this is a little local stuff here for our international audience, but at Christmas time, the last 2 years, I've really looked forward to Christmas week because the C-47, you guys fly right up the street, right over my house about every other flight, and it's always cool to hear. My wife gets tired of me running outside to listen to the C-47 fly over. But if you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area during Christmas time, these guys doing these Christmas night, these nighttime Christmas light flights, it's a pretty cool deal, and you guys need to check that out in December. I imagine you'll be doing that again because it's been pretty successful for you. And Pacific Prowler, I know your B-25 is undergoing some maintenance. I know I was out there at the hangar the other day and talking to Jim, and they got a gear leg pulled. I know there's AD note out there for all the B-25s and their gear. And you think she'll be back on her feet by in the next 2 weeks?
We don't know how long she's going to be out. And I would say the next 2 weeks might be a bit ambitious. We do have a cost estimate. It's going to cost about $250,000 to fix this plane.
Right.
So when I say we're trying to raise money, I am serious as a heart attack. We have got to raise some money. We don't want to have anything that doesn't fly. We are a flight activity center and not a museum. And it's just we know that we can reach more kids. We can cross that generational barrier if they're in the air. So you hit on something that's, you know, certainly at the top of our priority list, and that's getting the Pacific Prowler back in the air. It's it is going to be a lengthy project. I don't think we'll have her flying in 2 weeks, and it is going to be expensive. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's not cheap out there, folks. So come out. That's March 31st at Meacham Field. That's KFTW for the pilots out there that want to fly in. And it looks like it's going to be a good fly-in. I look forward to being there. I know I'll be there Saturday morning. And you know, $10 a carload. I mean, you can pack a lot of people in the right car, so you get the people to get their money's worth out of it. And it looks like, sounds like it's going to be a good time, Dana. And thank you for coming on the show tonight. And
thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Sure. We look forward to hearing the next greatest thing out of Greatest Generation there in Fort Worth. So I appreciate you being on tonight, Dana.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed evening. Bye-bye.
All right. Appreciate it. Well, this is Dana Wood with the Greatest Generation Aircraft Group. They're doing some interesting things over there. That A26K model is a work in progress. You know, they've got a lot of ambitious projects. Their DC-3, their Southern Cross, is flying and up and going. I know they just had a change of engine, and you know, so they really need the support. So if you're out there local March 31st, it's a good time to be there. So we're going to wrap it up here. We've got a hot air show calendar coming up in the springtime in the United States, air show season, and I want everybody to be safe out there. You know, this is a year anniversary of quite a tragedy at the beginning of the air show season last year, and we're going to keep those folks in our prayers, and everybody be safe out there. I know this has been Safety Week on WarbirdRadio.com, and you know, keep an eye on the ball, and let's have a safe air show season, and it's paramount that we take care of things and really keep an eye on things after things have been, you know, sitting in the hangar all this winter, and our flying skills are rusty a little bit, and the you know, the airplanes are a little need a little work, and let's do it right and keep safe out there, folks. That's the word of the month, and that's the word of the year. So we appreciate everybody tuning in tonight here at warbirdradio.com. Make sure you catch the podcast if you want to miss something here on the show. The podcast will be up soon, and make sure you listen to Matt Jolly tomorrow morning at 10 Eastern for the live show. And thank you everybody for tonight. This is Zane Adams signing off from the Wix Warbird Weekly Show. I wouldn't listen to my people,
my friends, and nobody else. If you enjoyed the show this week, folks, be sure and check out Wix Online. That's the Warbird Information Exchange. You can find them online at warbirdinformationexchange.org. Thanks for listening. See you next week, same time, same channel, 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday nights. It's the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Show.